Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast, an intelligent, imaginative, hospitable exploration of ideas that matter in contemporary life. And now, here's your host, Dick Staub.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another encore presentation of The Dick Staub Show, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers about their life, work, and personal journey. Today, a conversation with Dr. John Stott.
Our guest is an internationally known pastor, scholar, theologian, author. Dr. John Stott is Rector Emeritus of All Souls Church in London. He served as chaplain to the Queen from 1959 to 1991. He has authored, my records say, over 42 books, but I'm sure it's over 50-some books by now. His Primer on the Faith, which was one of the first books that I really read to understand our faith, Basic Christianity, has been translated into over 50 languages. He is one of the key architects of the historic Lausanne Covenant. He's been called the most influential clergyman in the Church of England in the 20th century, and his influence continues to be felt, among other things, through his Langham Scholarship Program and Evangelical Literature Program. We'll get a chance to talk about all those and more with Dr. John Stott this afternoon. It's so good to see you again.
Thank you very much. You know, while you were rehearsing all those things, I thought I was listening to my obituary.
Well, let's say that that's not what we're trying to do this afternoon. But we, you know, you have accomplished so much in your life. And it's funny, my wife and I just last night, I'm turning 50 this year. And I said, Kathy, I want us to get away, the two of us, and talk about the next 10 years so that when I turn 60... And I'm not going to reveal her age on the air, but when you have 10 more years, I don't want either of us to say at the end of those 10 years that we regret how we've used those 10 years. And I look at someone like you who has accomplished so much, and it's really what it to me, it would bring a sense of accomplishment to be able to look back over years and say, certainly any of us can say I could have done something different, but to at least to be able to point to some markers, some benchmarks, and say, I was there when there were critical issues that needed to be dealt with, and I dealt with them. Mm-hmm. That's your legacy, really.
Well, it's difficult to respond to that because I am very well aware of failures as well as success. And any success one has is due to the grace of God, isn't it? So I don't like to sit down and evaluate the things that I've accomplished. Somehow there seems something inappropriate about doing that.
But when you think about it, this isn't even something I was going to get into, but it's a fascinating subject. How intentional were you throughout your career in terms of what was next? You know, I just described a conversation with my wife talking about, let's look at the next 10 years. Mm. Was that part of your life and planning?
Not really. I mean, some of it was. But take the two things that you've mentioned, the scholarship program and the literature program. I never set out to develop these at the beginning. They arose naturally from my travels. It was when I was traveling, lecturing, preaching, that I became aware, as I had not been aware before, of these tremendous needs. So it wasn't sitting down and planning, really. It was the existential experience that led to the decision to move ahead in these directions.
How about the books that you've written? Choosing what needed to be written next?
Each one was a response to some perceived need. Something in my own experience or in the experience of other people that seemed to need a book, and there wasn't a book that did it. I don't think one ought to begin to write a book unless one is aware that there is a lacuna, there is a gap that needs to be filled.
Hmm. Now, even having said all of that, there were times when you saw more needs than you could participate in. How did you get a sense of which of those needs you would respond to and which ones were someone else's to respond to?
Well, I suppose there had to be a certain correspondence between the need of which I was aware that was objective and the gifts that God has given me, which are subjective. And it's the correspondence between the object and the subject that I think leads to action.
If you had to define then a kind of an overarching sense of mission, though, it would have to do with wanting to accomplish good stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
accomplish the highest and best that you could with the investment that God had made in you. In other words, I guess this is interesting to me because I hear so many young people trying to decide, and not just young people, people right. my age, what's next and what should be next. Mm-hmm. And unless you have that kind of linchpin sense that whatever it is, it needs to be for the glory of God,
yeah.
it seems like a rudderless process to me.
Well, that's another enormous question. I want to say that one needs every day, at least I'm talking about myself, I need every day to get reorientated as a disciple of Jesus Christ. I like to remind myself every day that he is the Lord and I'm his servant and disciple, and that it is within this overall sense of orientation to him that one becomes aware of the particular task or ministry to which he may be calling me. See, let me put it quite differently. All Christian people, without any exception, are called to ministry. That is, we're called to give our lives in the service of God and of other people. But how we determine what precise ministry it is to which we're called, that can only arise from our perception of the need, as we said, and of our ability to meet that need.
Join us next time for a continuation of our conversation with John Stott. Thank you for listening to The Kindling's Muse. If this program sparks something in you, I invite you to participate at www.thekindlings.com. That's KINDLINGS. Share this program, tell a friend, or just leave a comment at www.thekindlings.com.